Thank you very much, Pastor. God bless you. Pastor, that was excellent singing, Pastor. I always knew you could sing, and that was you outdone yourself again. Give God praise. Come on. By the way, the meal last night was on the church, so we ate up. I mean, we ate up a storm, I tell you what. When Pastor announced, the moment we sat down, he says, the meal's on the church. I go, let's start ordering right now before we forget. Oh, Pastor, I tell you what, Rose and I deeply, deeply appreciate you and Sister Sue. Now, let me tell you why I appreciate your pastor. Because if I leave it hanging, you wonder, oh, yeah, he got invited. That's why he's saying stuff like this. But you have to know that I've known your pastor for a number of years. And you need to know also that pastors are not immune from all the challenges of life that all of us have. And just the fact that Gary and Sue have to deal with the physical and medical challenges that Carly has. I mean, I try to put myself in the shoes as a fellow pastor, and I say, you know what, I don't think I can function at 50%. This guy functions at 110% every single day. And every single time I'm talking on the phone with him, he's never complained. He's always praising God, thinking about who are the people he could bless, what other pastoral staff people that he come and bless. So for that reason, and many others, I'm going to suggest, I know December 23rd is a Sunday. I already checked the calendar. And so I'm going to ask you to prayerfully consider. I know we're talking about all the things that you're giving to and all that, but I tell you what, you ain't going to get broke. I can guarantee it, okay? Just by giving during the Christmas season, you are not going to get broke, and you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So I want you to prayerfully consider putting a gift in your pastor or Sue's hand and say, you know what, Pastor, I want to bless you with this. Would you do that? I'll tell you what. He's never thinking for himself. He always thinks for his staff people, staff pastors. I wish every pastor were like that, but they're not. I can tell you that because I hang around pastors a lot. And we'll just leave it at that except to say this. You are blessed to have a wonderful pastor in Pastor Gary Z. You give God praise. Come on. Pastor, what a joy it is to have fellowship with you last night. And Rose is here, Rose sitting in the back there. And we are deeply grateful to serve as your missionaries. And we do not take it for granted. And I want you to understand that the work that we all do together is kingdom impacting, mountain moving, life changing for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that? Say amen. And somebody in the first service asked me, I don't know whether it was trying to be funny or whatever, said, you're Chinese? I said, yes, I am. I said, no, you just hang on. And when I came up, I forgot to tell him. Just so we all understand, let's make everybody comfortable so you understand. One out of five persons living on planet Earth is Chinese. Okay? Now, you would not know looking around today, would you? Amen? I thought I'd get that one out of the way. Okay. And so we have clear thoughts right now. It's a joy on this trip to be able to visit with two of our very, very wonderful friends we've known for over 31 years out they were formerly from Paradise where the house completely burned down. Pastor David, who was just turned 80, and Linda's wife been married over almost 60 years now. And these are the kinds of pastors we hang around with because they are mentors and we learn from them. And we sat for 2.5 hours over lunch yesterday and in Reading. And I'll tell you what, we can hear the pain coming out of the words. I mean, everything in your life that you work for. And he talked about his entire library. I remember being in his home, and we slept in his guest room, and we sat and prayed in his library. He says, every one of those books are gone. Everyone. He says, you remember that Spurgeon set, that green Spurgeon set? I said, yes, I know. I have one. He says, all that gone. I said, but you know what? We're glad you're here. Your life. And then he said words I'll never forget. He says, you know, it helps us understand what eternity is all about, isn't it? The things that we see do not last. Amen, people? The things that we see are transient. They're temporal. And they're temporary. And they're here today and they're gone tomorrow. If you don't believe it, try 50 years from now. Most of the people sitting here in 50 years from now will not be here. Amen? Because you know why? We're going to be with Jesus. And so we kind of a deep privilege. We spend time listening to our friends and hearing their stories and being a part of their life and ministry from years past, having preached in the churches that he was a part of. This has been a wonderful journey, a wonderful trip. And then to spend time with Gary and Sue last night was incredible, Pastor. We're deeply blessed every time we're in your presence and to see your commitment to God and the way you serve God so faithfully here. I always said, you know what? The church, can you hear me? The church resembles the church resembles the pastor resembles the church. And so that's the blessing you have, to have a pastor and pastoral staff who are seeking to do the very best in serving God and serving you. It's a joy to be here, and during the holiday season, it's a time when a lot of people travel. And when you travel, you don't get to be a part of the church, but I'm so glad that you're here today and you're not traveling. But during this time of the year, the last literally 5 weeks of the year, of the month of December, literally the most crucial months, crucial weeks of the year, and here's why. These 5 weeks of the year, 5 weeks of December, are weeks whereby people are more sensitive to the moving of the Spirit of God upon their lives. And I pray that you prayerfully consider inviting your family members, your friends, your colleagues at work, your neighbors to come to one of these season events. Because at those times, they get to meet you and be part of a church family that loves God and has a vision for the great work that God is doing here and throughout the world. Amen, people? Please prayerfully consider that, because you are the missing link. You are the missing link to them coming to faith in Jesus Christ, who said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So it's a wonderful time of the year for you to be a part of the work that God has been doing and which you do so well. And so thank you so much for the privilege of serving as your missionaries. And Rose and I deeply appreciate it. And each time when we receive your gift every single month, and your gift comes, your gift one of the very first gifts that come. And I stop to thank Pastor Gary and the church family here for the way in which you have come along our side. It means so much to us. Words fail in communicating to you how deeply grateful we are. So, except to say thank you. Thank you so very much. So, this morning, Grace Church brings Emmanuel to Indonesia. You get to bring Christ Jesus to Indonesia. An island of the country with 17,500 islands. And by the way, the two islands that Rose and I work in predominantly, because in those two big islands, there are many different spots where we can do Bible translation work, where we move from place to place undetected. Those very two islands were the two islands that were affected by the volcanic eruption, the earthquake, and the tsunami. As we are worshiping today, they have already dug up over 5,000 bodies. And yet, in the midst of all the tragedies, the human tragedies you can think of, and we've got tragedies of a town in Paradise that I just told you about, a pastor friend of ours, and Pastor Gary told you the same about a friend of his. You know, you think about all that, and you say, in the midst of all those tragedies, Bible translation work continues. Isn't that amazing? Give God praise. Come on. These folks are not deterred. Think about it. I mean, here were former Muslims, now become Christians. Now from Christians, they're Bible translators. And who are these folks? People in the mid-20s. I mean, think about it. I mean, how many mid-20s in America do you know of who are committed to make sure the Word of God gets translated? I'm praying and hoping a lot more that God will continue to raise up and our good friend Doug Bridges sent me a note one day, and he says, the eyes of the Lord search to and fro. Remember? The eyes of the Lord search to and fro for those whose hearts are committed to Him. From one who understands 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9 to another, I deeply appreciate it, Doug. And where did he get that commitment? I talked with his mother. Where is Bobby today? Did I miss Bobby somewhere? Is Bobby around here? Bobby's there. Okay. I asked Bobby what the... So, Bobby, you don't have to listen to this. I'm going to tell the rest of the folk. I asked Bobby, I said, how did you raise these kids over there so into the Word of God? She says, when the kids were growing up, when they're having breakfast, and they're busy eating breakfast, she says, I'm reading the Word of God aloud. Every single day. May her tribe increase. Amen, people? So, amen. Come on, give God praise. Come on, give God praise. You know what? Never lose sight of the fact that the Word of God can change lives, including your own kids and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. And by the way, in case you wonder, don't wander too far and don't wander too long. Just think about it. Let me predict. Let me prophesy. In just a few years from now, and few is all relative, okay? In just a few years, could it be that one of your children or one of your grandchildren could be the pastor of this church? Or one of the staff pastors of this church? Think about it. I mean, who ever thought that Janelle would be on the staff at the church? But she's on staff. See? So you're planting seed in the life of God's church, in God's kingdom work, and you just never know what God's going to do with the seed that you plant. Amen, people? Got to believe it. Otherwise, go sell aluminum siding or something. Amen, people? I'm not recommending you do it right now, but if you thought of that, boy, you can do it later. Now, the virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and it will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know, it's so good, we ought to read it together. Why don't we do it? The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know, the very thought that you are partnering with us and we're serving as your missionaries in the great country of Indonesia, the most populated Muslim country in all the world, gives me goosebumps every time I think about it. That a church at Kelseyville, tucked in the middle of nowhere, okay? You know it takes a long time to drive to get up to your church? And then when you get up to your church, you still got to drive in from the main drag or whatever. And you go, tucked in the middle is a group of people, 500-600 people, who are so committed to God. The whole world needs to know it. Somebody ought to tell the story. I've been telling your story, so it's about time you start telling your own story. Amen? Pastor, that's a lot of stories to be told, wonderful stories to be told here. The virgin will conceive, and a candle that lights another candle loses nothing. Thank you for lighting our candle, and thank you for lighting the candles of those former Muslims who become Christians and now are Bible translators, translating the Word of God. People in the mid-20s. Think about it. people in their mid-20s sold out to God because of you. Don't ever go to sleep at night and think, you know what, I've done a whole lot of anything. You've done a whole lot of a lot of things. So let these words not just fall to the ground, but let these words go straight in your ears and straight into your heart. And know that the work that you are doing, you are making an enormous difference in the life of God's kingdom work. And you've got to give God praise, the loudest praise you can think of. Come on, give God praise. You know, when I think of our Lord Jesus, and this Advent season gives us plenty of opportunities to do so, I always fast forward to the last words. You know why? Because after the last words, there's not a whole lot. Think about it. I mean, I was watching the news late last night, and President George W. Bush said he had a last conversation with his dad, President George Herbert Walker Bush. And he talked about last words, and he said he would tell more about his last words later. I thought, you know, so President George Herbert Walker Bush had his last words. One day, you and I will have our last words. Okay? But listen to the last words of our Lord Jesus. Please read with me on whatever's on the screen. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The very last words of our Lord Jesus. You say, how do you know those were the last words? I'm so glad you asked, and so here's the answer. Acts 1:9 says, as he was speaking, he was lifted up out of their sight. That's how we know Acts 1:8 to be the last words. And since they were the last words, it really is important for us to consider why they are the last words. Think about it. Jesus reserved these very last words for you and for me. Not only for his disciples, but for you and for me. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So what does the Holy Spirit do? In Romans, the Bible tells us there are a lot of things in Romans. So allow me to condense it. So when you go to Romans 8, for instance, the Bible begins by saying, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because you and I are in Christ Jesus, we've come into faith in him, and we know him as our Lord and Savior. Therefore, there is no condemnation. God doesn't condemn us anymore because we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now then, a lot of things happen between Romans 8:1 and Romans 8:39. Romans 8:1, it says, there's therefore now condemnation. But then, tucked in the middle, past the middle of Romans 8, he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things together with him? Answer is no. If he give us his son, there is nothing he would withhold from you and from me. Amen, people? And as if that wasn't enough, wait till he comes to a crescendo and he says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that makes you want to say what? Time to go home, right now. You see? So now he begins by saying, there is now therefore no condemnation. He ends by saying, because there is no condemnation, there is now therefore no separation. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. And he starts naming them, shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's what the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's what Paul's talking about in Romans 8. He talked about the work of the Holy Spirit that Jesus talked about in Romans in Acts chapter 1 and in verse 8. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So those were the last words of our Lord Jesus. I sometimes ponder what my last words would be. But you know, you just never know what they would be until you get there. A restaurant owner who came to the end of his life. He owned a whole series of restaurants. He was very, very rich. The family all gathered around him. They waited to hear what his last words would be. Now listen to his last words as they all lean into him. And this is what he said. Remember to slice the ham thin. Do you believe this? Remember to slice the ham thin. Those were his last words. What would yours be? But the words of the Lord Jesus, you shall receive power. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8 will be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. And how do I know they'll be fulfilled? Listen. There's some things, some secret things belong to the Lord our God in Deuteronomy 29:29. But yet some things God allow us to peek, take a peek into eternity, to peek into the future. And here he tells us as he fast forward to Revelation 7 and verse 9. It's so good. So let's read together. After this I looked, and behold a great multitude which no man could number from every nation, tribes and peoples and tongues, stand before the throne and before the Lamb. See, in Acts 1:8, he tells us he will empower us and we will be his witnesses. And in case the disciples had any doubts, and you know how sometimes we are prone to doubt, and it's okay to be prone to doubt, and God understands it. That gives us the answer. He says, you know what? I'm going to have my apostle John, who was exiled to a penal concentration camp there in Patmos, and I'll have him write these words. After this I looked, he said. Look to see what? And behold, a great multitude which no man can number. How many? No man could number. From where? Every nation, every tribe and people and tongue stand before the throne and before the Lamb. So that tells us we live in the dash of Acts 1:8 and Revelation 7 and verse 9. Can somebody tell me how long that dash is? That's where we live. We live in the dash. Precious seconds, precious minutes, precious hours, precious days, precious weeks, precious months, precious years. Represented by the dash. Those are opportunities, divine appointments that God allows us to have. And when it's gone, it's gone. But we live in the dash of Acts 1:8 and Revelation 7 and verse 9. Or to put it in a different way, we live in the dash of our birth and our death. If you do not believe it, go to a cemetery sometime. The tombstones will tell you the date of birth and the date of death. Some tombstones had the wives outlived the husbands for some strange reason. They always do. They seem to live longer than the men. And men, by the way, take courage. It's okay. We're all going to the same place too, okay? So now, here's the thing. We live in the dash of our birth and our death. A dash. So if you live to be 100, it's a short period of time in comparison to eternity. Amen, people? Amen. But we live in the dash. I want you to see how when you and I live in a dash and your work in Indonesia is done, every single time the New Testament is written, the entire New Testament is written, and I'll tell you more after this video clip. When the New Testament is written and when there's a celebration, I want you to see yourself in that celebration. Amen? and I'll be back with you in 2 minutes. Amen. Don't you love the fervor, excitement, enthusiasm of that brother when he prayed and thanked God? Amen. Forty unreached people groups in Indonesia will receive their New Testaments by Easter of 2019. The how is where you come in. They are doing the translation. Who these people already told you, these are people who are in the mid-20s. Each time a Bible translation workshop is held somewhere in those islands in Indonesia that Rose and I go to, what happens is one people group will be represented by at least 10 young people. So that by 2019, Easter of 2019, which would be April of 2019, 40 unreached people groups in Indonesia will receive their New Testaments. I've asked Pastor since it was in July, early July, and I'm so glad I got to him because he had other plans already. And so your church, Grace Church of Kelseyville, through your Christmas gifts on the Christmas tree, we're committing to supporting 5 New Testaments for 5 unreached people groups. 1 New Testament for an unreached people group costs $1,000. Our need is $50,000. We're trusting God to provide every penny of it. The matching gifts, and I do not plan to leave any dollar on the table. Don't you love that? We must not leave matching gifts on the table. Amen, people? Especially when the lives of people hang in the balance. We're not talking about physical lives. We're talking about spiritual lives. Lives of people for eternity that counts. 40 unreached people groups. So now, here's an example of a Bible translation workshop. You see the guy with a bald head that doesn't have much hair right there in the middle, right? Yeah, that'd be me. And the one taking the picture, that'd be Rose. So now here's the thing. So they're gathered in these circular tables. And they come from all these isolated islands by speedboats. Why? Because it's faster and it costs less money. It costs a lot more money to fly them from point A to point B because they all come from different islands. It's kind of hard to figure out a country that has 17,500 islands. Okay, I truly get it. But until you see it, you don't know what we're talking about. These islands from one to the other is kind of far away. It just takes time to get from point A to point B. Our day begins at 5 o'clock in the morning and doesn't end until 10. So you understand that we're not there to do like we're going to Hawaii, okay? You're going there to work. You're going there to encourage. And it's a spiritual, literally a spiritual battle going on. Because when the spiritual battle for the souls of men and women, here's why. Every time the word of God is translated, the devil's at work. We'll see a verse later in 1 Corinthians. Whenever there's an open door, the devil is always at work. And by the way, so you understand, every time there's a service that's going on, if there's a way by which we can put out a spiritual antenna, I can guarantee you that the devil and his demons are at work in our hearts. And you're saying, you know what? How can you ever believe this guy standing up there telling you that God can change your life? You know why? Because God has changed mine. And if God can change mine, God can change anybody's. Amen, people? So now, here's a time of worship service. And folks were reading God's word and singing. You're part of all that. From the left to the right, it is as wide as the continental United States. 17,500 islands. Even though 6,000 are inhabited, every single island's got people. Some are reachable, more reachable than others. It is the country with the largest Muslim population. Remember I told you about 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9? For a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Paul knows exactly what he was talking about. And he was not only talking about physical human beings, but he was talking about spiritual adversaries. People of God, for that reason and that reason alone, Rose and I are deeply grateful for you coming along our side and making a major difference in the lives of the people of Indonesia. $100 million people. Still do not have one verse of the Bible. It's hard to fathom. But we are making strides. We're making progress. Come Easter 2019, we are trusting. I want you to trust with us. 40 unreached people groups will have the entire New Testaments. On top of that, there's another people group called the Sawi people in Papua, Indonesia. Don and Carol Richardson started working with the folks 40 years ago. Don is now in his 80s, and he's got fourth stage brain tumor. The first 10 years of his work with the Sawi people, they were warring tribes, and they were killing each other. And Don and Carol were so discouraged, they said, you know what, we're going to go home. And the first 10 years, they translated, they helped with the help of the Sawi people, they translated the New Testament in the Sawi language. But they never got to the Old Testament. And so, along with our partners here in the U.S., we said, you know what, let's try to get the Old Testament finished. Think about this. It takes $50,000 to finish the entire Old Testament. Just a few weeks ago, 211 mid-20 folks from Papua, among the Sawi people, 14 churches of the Sawi people, gathered for two whole weeks, translated 16 of the 39 books in the Old Testament. By the way, the Old Testament is 39 books. New Testament is 27. 3 by 9 equals 27. That's how you get 66. Did you get that? There'll be a test at the end. Okay. Now then, that's a joke, but no test. Okay. 16 of 39 books were translated in two whole weeks. Imagine that. Why the speed? Why the urgency? Because Don Richardson is on his last leg. And we want him to go meet Jesus and know that his work on earth is finished and he has done well. And that's where you come in, people. People, I tell you what, I firmly believe that if anything that we do, we don't do with accents and don't do with urgency, we should not do them. We should just hang up and sell a loom siding or something. Amen. I close with this. A mother was sitting with his 4-year-old son in a hospital. The son has lung cancer. And the mother rocked the baby, the 4-year-old baby, in her arms, and the mother says, "I know it's painful, I know it's painful." And the son says, "Mama, it's hard to breathe. It's so very hard to breathe." Mother says, "I know, son. Whenever you find it hard to breathe, I want you to look to the corner of the room on the ceiling, and I want you to start hearing the bells of heaven ring for you." The day ended and the mother went home. Early the next morning at 6 o'clock, she rushed to the hospital to see how the son was doing. And she was met at the entrance of the hospital and by nurses, and the nurses said, "Something's wrong with your son. What's wrong with my son?" He said, "Well, your son is having hallucinations. He kept saying he hears the bells of heaven ring. He hears the bells. I mean, he hears the bells all night long. He kept hearing the bells." The mother says, "No, my son was not having hallucinations, because I told him that when he is in pain and his pain gets to be so unbearable, I want him to start hearing the bells of heaven ring." In a hush, she ran to the room, picked up the son, and began to rock him. And from the mouth of the son, all the mother could hear was, "Mama, I can hear the bells of heaven ring." That's what you do. By your gifts and your prayers and support, you are helping thousands and yes, even millions of Indonesians hear the bells of heaven ring. Thank you so much, Pastor.
I'd like the men who will be serving to come up now, please. Thank you, Patrick. What an awesome privilege that we get to be part of not only changing Lake County, but we also have a chance of changing a nation. And so I think it's a significant thing is this. In Indonesia right now, it is young Muslim men and women who are coming to Christ, but those young Muslims coming to Christ and then being trained, they're the ones doing the lion's share of this translation. And here's what I believe. I'm not a prophet, but I am a preacher. I believe that God has a special purpose for this generation. Those in high school and college age right now, God, there's going to be a revival of things. And he will grab the hearts of the young. And our prayers need to be for these people. It's a dangerous work that they're doing. Today we come to this table that we understand completely. But there's millions and millions who, what we're doing, they would not understand. But Jesus, when he came and died on the cross for our sins and rose again, he says, "I want you to never forget what I've done." And I believe it is on a monthly basis when we have communion. It's our opportunity, it's my opportunity to pause and reflect. Am I living in a manner worthy of what he's done for me? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we share this bread and this cup, we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins and raising again. Why? That we may be provided salvation in your name. We know that as many as received you, to them you've given the right to be called the children of God. So, Lord, we come to you today to remember and to rededicate our hearts to you. In Christ's name, amen. Some things that have impressed me about this last year is the reality that life is fragile. Whether it be the smell of smoke or turning on the news and things happening. The world we live in today is fragile, and Jesus Christ came. And what this cup represents is something that's not fragile. It's reality. It's the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so the thing that has impressed me is that as God's grace has been poured out to each one of us, is that let's redouble our efforts. Maybe it's about waking up from the sleep we find ourselves in, or an apathy, or a comfort zone. I'm not sure what it is. Let me challenge each one of us. As Jesus got involved in your life so much that he came to save you, get involved with the lives of people. Bring to them, through your life and your words and the word of the scripture, the words of life. And as you hold this cup, the strength of our church and every church in Lake County and around the world is because Jesus Christ is our King. He is our center. He is our Savior. And let us let nothing happen in our lives that would divide us from each other. Let us commit ourselves to living holy lives. Let us commit ourselves to loving the Lord with everything and loving each other with everything. Until the Lord comes again, let us walk in a manner worthy of this cup and his sacrifice. Let us do this in remembrance of him. Amen. On the way out, there'll be an offering, a benevolent offering for those many people who come to our church every week who have special financial needs. We can help them, be a blessing to them. Once again, for those who costumes, go on next door right afterwards and do that. For those who want to help put up a tent, 2:00 we'll have it'll be a tent party today. Let's stand and sing Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy that has come into our life because of the gift of your Son. Lord, help us to live this Christmas season with a new and a fresh focus on being the light. We pray, Lord, for these translators, even now in Indonesia. We pray for their safety. We pray for wisdom and diligence as even now they're translating, even today, translating the Word of God. We pray, Lord, as these unreached people receive the Word, that there would be great revival that would take place. Oh, Lord, bless their efforts, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day. God bless you.